On today's episode of The Good Word, Bomani Jones joins us to discuss the NBA's play-in tournament, which is filled with intriguing matchups and storylines. And we tell you our picks for MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and I've got a hot take about the Rookie of the Year. All that and much more coming up on today's episode.
Good Word with Goodwill on Yahoo Sports. Ball don't lie. And here is Vince Goodwill.
Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. We are part of the Ball Don't Lie podcast. Get us wherever you get your podcast. It is Monday. We just got finished with the end of the regular season, which means we got a week before the real playoffs start. But even still, got to bring in my man, Bomani Jones, the host of The Right Time with Bomani Jones. You can subscribe to and get on YouTube. He was just on 7 p.m. in Brooklyn with Carmelo Anthony and Mero. That was a good time there. That was on his podcast and on the 7 p.m. in Brooklyn feed. Bo, that was fun. I mean, other than Carmelo making you seem like a normal-sized human being.
Yo, man, they did me dirty. If you look it up, they got a picture. So they got this couch there. And after the show, like, when they set up, Melo got a seat, Mero got a seat, and then the guest sits on the couch, right? And then afterwards, they're like, yo, we're going to take pictures, right? So they get somebody to come in and take pictures. And so Mero sit on one armrest, Melo sit on one armrest, but I'm sitting on the couch. And it's doing me a real disservice, I have to say. Like that was not what's up. I thought you were going to mention the fact that Melo remembered that 14 years ago he called me a hater.
He did. And he did. Look, he said, who is Bomani Jones? And you said it in front of him. Like he wasn't going to remember. You were just talking about like some random dude.
I didn't think, because I was a random dude at the time. Like that was the thing. It was amazing that he bothered to care. I can't believe he was watching TV that day. Right? So no, I did not think that he remembered. He was like, yeah, I remember. I'm like, oh, okay. Me and Melo cool, but still.
Could have got uncomfortable, but it didn't.
Could have been. No, it got uncomfortable where I felt like my joke was misinterpreted when I said it was a shame that they gave Jokic Anthony Randolph's jersey. And I was trying to say that it was really the shame that the Nuggets gave it to Anthony Randolph. Like, that's wild that Melo left and they gave his number away to Anthony Randolph. But then Melo acted like he took a shot. And I'm like, damn, I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Or you're like, I don't think that's, I sent Mero a text after and be like, hey man, make sure Melo know I wasn't really trying to say what he thought I was trying to say, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he's so cool that it's hard to really understand if he's like mad. Like the quickest I saw that man move was in a hidden video that he didn't even realize that was recording when he was in the back of the loading dock looking for Kevin Garnett that one time. You know what I mean? I ain't never seen him move a defensive slide that quick, but when he thought he was getting to that bus, man, that man turned into Usain Bolt.
Well, to be fair, I have seen him move very quickly in defense before. It was at Madison Square Garden, and he played for the Nuggets.
That's a great point. That is excellent.
That did happen.
That was an excellent point.
It was a thing.
I forgot about that.
Yo, that's the one to look back on that's wild, because it's nowhere near the Palace. It was just the first fight after the Palace. They were suspending, dude. Like, I want to say, he got like 10. I want to say JR got like 20. Like, David Stern was like, I told y'all, we ain't doing this shit no more.
Hey. Emperor Stern did not play back then. He's like, y'all go. He's the type of dude, like on Money Train. Remember the movie Money Train and Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson? The dude that's the boss, he's like, no one stops my money train. David Stern is like, you're not going to do this in my league on my Madison Square Garden floor.
Not now. Too early. Too early. Too soon. Too soon. Too soon. Still tender. Still tender.
And it was like two years later.
I don't think it was two, but it was. He ain't have to do all that.
Hey, look here. I can't believe I'm saying this, but there's something I appreciate about the dude who's in charge actually understanding that he's in charge. Right?
Hey, man, I can't believe I'm saying it either, but the truth is, the more I live and the more I work, the more I realize what you want at work is clarity. That's like more than anything else. Nothing matters more than clarity and a measure of predictability, right? And David Stern, if nothing else, that man was crystal, crystal dog, crystal.
Hey, he wasn't bending. He wasn't trying to hear what you had to say. He didn't care what the media said. In fact, he let the media know how stupid we were. Yes. Adam Silver on the other hand, you know what? That's a good idea. I might take that into account. That's why we get these damn positionless media awards where it's going, where all NBA first team ain't going to look like a damn team. Don't get me look on a tangent on this.
Look here. The story forever will be when Edith Strauss reported that they were at whatever meeting that was, and David Stern was explaining that they need to do coaches interviews at halftime, which, by the way, is a really dumb and terrible idea that I don't think serves anybody. And Scott Skiles is like, look, we don't really want to do this. Probably a bunch of very good reasons to not want to do this. And say that David Stern says, on one hand, we have our media partners and sponsors who pay us millions and millions of dollars. On the other, Scott Skiles. Like, can you imagine if he said that to you? Said that about you? Like, can you just imagine something like, damn, dog, there's people here. And let alone to that guy.
Like, yeah, Scott Skiles is a crazy person. Like, all these coaches are crazy. Like, imagine that being like Tibbs. Tibbs being in a meeting with Adam Silver. And Adam is saying, coaches, I got a new idea for you. We're going to have you mic'd up, uncensored, and we're going to play it during the game after the coach's interview. Tibbs will turn into a raging, what the fuck is this? Yes. And Adam is going to say, you think that's a bad idea? It's not the same. It's not the same anymore. And I like Adam a lot. I really do like Adam Silver a lot. But there's something about David Stern lording over everyone, telling everybody how we gonna kick it. And everybody just figuring out, okay, this is how we gonna kick it. Sometimes it ain't no wiggle room. Sometimes it ain't no bend.
You seen Kenny Martin talk about how Stern called him an office boy. Kenny Martin say basically, David Stern saved a lot of y'all from getting slapped in the face. Because basically, David Stern called him in and said, ain't no more than slapping people in the face. He's like, this ain't happening in this league. He may even said in my league. But he was like, this is going to stop.
And He's in charge. There was a bunch of things I wish that I could do, but the nickname I gave him, the Emperor, seems very well to have fit. And apparently he liked it, even if he didn't like me.
I'm sure I respect. He loved it. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you said it, not me. That's how he took it. Hey, yes. I'm not calling myself the Emperor, but if you're going to call me the Emperor, we can just rock with it and go with it. Cool. Yeah. Now, Bo, since you were in Kansas City over the weekend and you were flying back, I'm not sure if you saw the Lakers put the beats on New Orleans yesterday.
I did not.
They put the beats on New Orleans yesterday. They were up by damn near 40 at a point. And I don't think I'm really exaggerating there. So their reward is the 8 seed. They're playing New Orleans again on Tuesday night. And the reward for that is, hey, how about the Denver Nuggets if you win that game in the play-in? And I've seen smart people. But, and I've seen this over the past, literally yesterday. The Knicks won their game with the Bulls, which gave them the second seed. Lakers won that game. And everybody's like, or people, smart people, serious people, Bo, are like, well, it's not fair to the Knicks. The Knicks should be able to pick their opponent. Or the Lakers should lose their game to the Pelicans to get out of the way of the Denver Nuggets. So you mean put themselves in a 1-1 series with either the Warriors, who they're 1-3 against, or the Kings, who they're 0-4 against? I think they should win that game tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, as the LeBron James Invitational comes closer and closer. I mean, it's hard to have a play-in without LeBron James, it seems. I don't think that when they got this thing cracking, that the expectation was going to be that in two different years, we would have a possibility of LeBron versus Steph Curry in the play-in, Vinny. In the play-in. I don't think this is what was it. Is that what LeBron envisioned when he thought it was silly, right? None of us thought that this was going to happen. But we are now with the LeBron James Invitational ahead of us. I'm with you. You got to win the game that you got to win. You do not want to put yourself in a position to where if we lose this, we don't make it to the playoffs. You don't want that. Now, I do understand this argument, though, that if they get down to the eight and they get to play against Oklahoma City, and I think the thing that most of us believe, the problem that Oklahoma City has is they're a little light in the keister. They're a little young, and they're a little light in the keister. Like, is Chet ready for Anthony Davis in the postseason? Keep it in mind, last year in the postseason, Anthony Davis was as good as we've ever seen him be, and he's been really good this year, too. Is that what they really want? Are those young guys ready for the playoffs? Because say what you want about the Lakers, but they got dudes that's got some miles on them. They got the miles last year. They've seen some things. No, you go out there and you win the game. Like, no, you don't want to play Denver. Nobody wants to play Denver. But no matter what happens to you in the West, if you're lucky, you're going to get the chance to go play Denver and lose. Everybody's going to get the chance to go play Denver and lose. If it come early, okay, I guess it comes early.
Well, my thing is this. If you're going to give the Lakers a chance, and I'm not saying I give them a chance. If I'm going to give the Lakers a chance, I'm going to give them a chance early rather than late. Because we saw what happened in the conference finals last year. In the closest sweep known to mankind, you know, where Rui Hachimura was giving Nikola Jokic problems in game one, and then he had like 40 and 20 for the rest of the series, whatever, right?
Yes, he did.
So LeBron early in the playoff series, healthier, a little more rested, not as worn down. I give him a better chance in a first round than I will in a second round or a conference final series. Either way, you're going home. It's just a matter of how competitive it's going to be.
Yeah, I think, like, I feel like the one argument that you could make, though, and it's, I don't mean to make this so particular to one man, but I think you'll get it. Maybe later you hope that Michael Porter kind of wears down, because that's the guy whose body you always worry something might happen, though he trucked through this year, you know, fairly strong. But, nah, you got to get in. Like, all that, I'm going to do this to try to get to this. Nah. I think you ought to just get out here and win a game. That's what I would do if I was you. I'd just go win a game.
Hey, you brought up Michael Porter. I ain't worried about Michael Porter's health. I'm worried about that man with a microphone and access.
Hey, man, I have to say, his podcast is far more wide-ranging and interesting than I ever expected it to be.
I will say this. I think they should have social media rules, because as one person from the league office told me, why are these dudes giving the game away?
Yo, I will say this. He did not give the game away. He gave what, I mean, you know what? I could be wrong, but the way he talked about it, it sounded like he gave the game away. Right? Like he was like, man, these cats be out here doing some wild stuff. I guess they done got so bored, right? And he's like, you know, with an implicit, not me.
No. I'm just stunned literally at the fact that the freedom that someone has to say the things. And me and Boy are talking around this on purpose. Go look it up yourself and trust me, come back to teacher. And
oh,
you
no,
guys
no, no. I'll tell him what he said. He was talking to his porn star because he did an interview with a porn star, but like they got a mutual friend. I'll talk around that part. They got a mutual friend. So anyway, they were talking something about like people just getting wild with it. And he was making the point that cats in the league, they done seen so many things in this world that they start trying things that maybe they wouldn't have tried otherwise, just because they get bored with the other thing that they had been used to. For purposes of this discussion, we'll call it the tried and true. And they, you know, now they need to get out here and start getting a little bit more adventurous with it. And I could not believe that. Not only could I not believe he said it, what I could not believe is nobody edited it. Or no, like, this was greenlit. Like, what this tells me is Michael Porter is saving money by not having a team. Most everybody else got somebody that'd be like, hey, man, we ain't doing that shit. What are you talking about? Get out of here.
Hey, he's saving money, and then he's going to have to take care of a baby brother who's going to be out of the league soon.
Oh, yeah. He's done in this town, buddy. He's officially now, I know this is probably politically incorrect, and it's kind of wild to think that they used to actually do this, but if there were still a dunce cap, they have to size it up for that boy. What do you wear, 7.5? Measure that thing up. Better break out that compass. Get that circle. He'd be out this motherfucker looking like Jack from Jack in the Box. Hey, buddy. What are you doing?
Hey, and once again, he is the perfect dude for the league to hold up and say, if you do this in my league,
you're going to be
excommunicated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to be sent to parts unknown. Like, luckily, this ain't no star.
Now, his problem is, and this happens, like, you know, you used to lie to your mama and you thought your mama didn't know. She did, right? Like, you weren't that good at it. Sometimes you might have got over, but she knew you was lying about some of that stuff, right? Like, oh, my stomach hurt. I don't want to go to school. Your mama know that you lying about this. And I bring up that specific example because that's exactly what Jontay Porter did. Hey, coach, my stomach hurt. I can't play no more. Okay, man. You think the coach didn't know? He's like, all right, man. Yeah, go. Yeah, whatever, man. Go back there. I mean, they didn't think he was fixing the game, right?
But there's right.
You know, not the game. The over-under on a prop bet about you. Want to be very, very clear, right? Lawyers, chill out. Yeah, yeah, whatever, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go to the back.
And think about it. He's got the coach who went on that wild tirade about this is not fair and all that type of stuff. Remember that? Darko, dude. I think that's his name.
He got a coach from one of them soccer countries, which is to say people be getting into shenanigans all the time over there on this stuff. Come on, man.
He ain't stupid. Well, put it like this. Bo, it would be easier if you told me Zion Williamson got into shenanigans against the Lakers because that man be playing like the game cheating. He be playing against the Lakers like somebody got the controller. He see LeBron and AD, and instead of looking at them and saying, you know, it's a new king in town, he literally be out there playing shook. And yeah. I thought about this the other day, and I want to know what you think, Bo. He's had as good of a comeback season as you could expect. Like, he wasn't an all-star. He's not going to make all-NBA, but you feel reasonably good that he took care of himself this year. The problem is he's X amount of years into his career, and I can't think of a single signature Zion Williamson game where he just took – it was important. He took it over. He put his stamp on it, and he just wore somebody out.
The problem is that last year was the year for that, right? Because they were, what, best team in the West when he got hurt or somewhere in that zone. I thought they were going to finish going in this year, top 4 or 5 in the West. I'm a little surprised that they slipped down to the play-in because there was a point where it looked like they were going to play that 4 or 5 against the Clippers, and the Clippers need to really worry, right? Mm-hmm. So he has only finished with so many seasons, so he hasn't been in a position to play games that we would deem important. And so you're right. This is 5 years into it, and he hasn't had that game. Now, who knows? This next game might be that one. If he does not come out here playing like he shook. But I give him credit this year because the in-season tournament, I thought he would have hit rock bottom in the offseason. And look, we got to be real about this. Like, there's no need to tiptoe about this fact. That boy got embarrassed in front of the whole world this offseason. And it was bad enough that everybody thought it was fat. The team was acting like they was going to trade him going into the draft. Like, and then we found out about his business. I thought that was rock bottom. And it turned out it wasn't. The in-season tournament turned out to be rock bottom. And look, to be fair to him, I know it's going to sound extreme, man, but with all that boy was going through, I'm not surprised he showed back up chubby, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he might, like I don't know how he copes. Like, I got no idea. But I know that in-season tournament, he was in, those games are like a Monday Night Football game in the sense that even if the whole world isn't watching, it's the only game that's on that day. Mm-hmm. And so every television show and everybody on social media or whatever, they going to be talking specifically about you in a way that they wouldn't if that game was played on a Wednesday night. And, you know, there were 8 other games on the slate. Everybody saw it. He was the butt of everybody's jokes. Like, the thing that we left the in-season tournament from remembering more than anything else was not about the Lakers winning or anything else. It was about him looking bad. And he came back after that. Like, I think that might have been an inflection point in his career. Mm. So how much worse could it get?
Yeah.
Like, if your pride, if nothing else, just basic level pride didn't kick in at that point, that's what you got to worry. Because what great players have are these weird egos, right? Giant, outsized, delicate in a lot of ways, but how they look in a lot of ways fuels what they do. Now, look, we see Zion's haircuts. He don't care that much about how he look. We understand
he ain't want to look like a sucker.
He's still rocking that Big Z. He's still rocking the Z. This now makes me mad that Big Z never rocked a Big Z. But he's still rocking the Big Z in his hair. So I can't say he cared that much about how he looked. But after that in-season tournament, he realized, nah, man. Like, the streets got no love for you right now.
Dude, it's amazing how long ago that in-season tournament was. That feels like it was 2 years ago. All-Star Weekend, which was 2 months ago, feels like it was last year. And you talk about those egos. Look, you just talked about Carmelo Anthony and you being what you would consider yourself to be a nobody at the time. And that man got mad and salty with you and put your, he didn't even at you. He just put your name on Twitter. Who is Bomani Jones?
And remembered it nearly 15 years later.
These dudes are different. These dudes are just wired so different. And I'll tell you this. I don't even think I told you this yesterday, because yesterday, Bo, we were talking. I was about to book my flight to go to New Orleans for Lakers Pelicans. You know where I'm going today, Bo? You want to take a guess where I'm going? Going to Sacramento.
Really?
I'm going to Sacramento for the, I guess, the real elimination game, Kings Warriors. You know what I mean? And it's weird because, Bo, I think since January 31st, the Warriors have put up like a top seven record and a net rating that is like a, of a 50-win team. And then you go look at Steph's numbers post-All-Star break. I don't even know if you know this. He's like 23-5-5 on 42-38-92 splits. That looks like a man that's tired and old. We just don't see it in that way.
Hey, man. Here's my thought, and I'm curious what you think about this.
Okay.
If we're operating under the presumption that Steph Curry is still a superstar, and I'm going to do that, right? For this, like, you can parse whatever, but let's talk about this now. Let's say if you think Steph Curry is still a superstar, this team is one loss away from missing the playoffs, right? Like, they got to win two to get in, right?
Yes.
Okay. So they're one loss away from missing the playoffs. Somebody has to answer for that, right? It's not the coach, because they just gave the coach a big eight-figure extension for him to stick around. If you go look at Steph Curry's advanced numbers, they have not been good this year. Like, he is, even if you think he's a superstar, he has not played like a superstar. Now, those two things can be true at once, right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, there's a bit of a dichotomy at play there, but he has not been that dude, period. So if they don't make the playoffs, if he's supposed to be what he's supposed to be, if Kerr's supposed to be what he's supposed to be, who answers for this? Because somebody's got to, right? Or you going to blame it on Bob Myers because he don't work there no more? Like, there's no way that everybody can be what they say they are and they miss the playoffs.
Well, you know what the easy blame is here, right?
What, Draymond?
The million-dollar dream. The million-dollar dream, Draymond Green.
Yeah, Draymond.
This is what we're talking about. Like the games that he missed, both in that, whatever was that, the five-game suspension, and then the, you know, I'm going to go get my help, you know, sabbatical that he had. You could make an argument that him being there is a difference between them being a 10 seed and a 6 seed, maybe, because I don't think they're as good as a 4-5, even at full bloom, right? Maybe that's the easy thing, but Golden State, they've always been able, in my opinion, to operate under less than ideal circumstances, except for the period when they had Kevin Durant, and even kind of sort of then. And they've always been able to operate with that margin for error, even have that margin for error cut and still be able to emerge. That's how they got the 2022 ring. You look back at that, that's one of the most remarkable feats I've ever seen, to be perfectly honest. And I was around that team for the whole run, and I'm like, man, how do they keep doing this?
Right.
It just seems like they can't sustain the margin for error anymore. Or maybe Steph isn't supernova every night to sort of close the gap on the margin for error. Because who else do they have?
No, this is... If you didn't know they'd won four championships, what would you be saying about them?
Dude,
you know, if you didn't know Klay Thompson was a four-time champion,
yeah,
what would you say about him? If you didn't know Draymond Green was a four-time champion, what would you say about them? Like, if you just walked in and just saw this team play, what would you think about them?
I would look at this team and say, there's a good team in there somewhere, but that's but it's not the team that I'm watching. Like, you look at them and you say, oh, they have a bunch of the tools, like the bones. You got some athletes there. You got Kuminga that's coming. Like, Klay can have a night every night again. Steph can go super crazy. But the reason that, to me, I don't see if you agree with me on this one, because I feel like Steph falls in this, KD falls in this. LeBron falls in this. Maybe even to greater degree, LeBron falls in this. The numbers look, the raw numbers look a certain way. But when you watch them on a night-to-night basis, they can rev it up on a given night, but they can't do it every night. Like, you can look at me and tell me Kevin Durant's numbers are the same as what he did in 2014 when he won MVP, and I tell you out of your damn mind.
Oh, no, that's crazy talk. He was the best player in the NBA.
But just from the standpoint, Bo,
yes,
of not being able to rev it up anymore. You know what I mean? Like, the numbers sort of lying to you.
Yeah, like, I was at Barclays when LeBron James hit 40-something threes, right? And it was interesting because I'm not in arenas like that. And so it is easy to think of LeBron as this theoretical idea from the house, but then you get there and LeBron gets to cooking and it ain't no Nets crowd. I mean, if it ever was, but it ain't no Nets crowd no more. It's right. LeBron's house at this point. Like, it can still get up to these high levels that feel a way that nobody else can make this feel, right? Like, you and like, we agree on that part, but you're right. They can't just do it all the time. I mean, that was the Warriors last year, if we're going to be honest, right? And Steph plays a style of basketball with all that movement that he has to do. It takes a ridiculous level of physical conditioning to play the kind of basketball that he does. But they're just not, they all right. I mean, that's just all the way. Does anybody think they're a legitimate championship contender? No. And that raises all kinds of questions for me about the, why are y'all here? Right? Like, I don't think the Lakers are a championship contender, but I see the reasons why they think they can talk themselves into believing they can win the West. Right? Like, if a couple things break right, namely, like, Jokic falls down steps. But if a couple things break right, I see why they think that they might be able to make something work. I can't think of what would have to happen for the Warriors to be the champions.
Look, as we transition to the East, same sort of thing, right? You look at the Miami Heat and the 76ers, they're going to be in that first play-in game. And everybody is saying, oh my God, it's so unfair. Boston would have to play one of these teams. New York would have to play one of these teams. If I'm Boston or New York, much to a much greater degree, I'm like, nobody, none of these two teams should scare me. When did Philadelphia, who's never made a conference final in this era, who hasn't made a conference final since 2001, been a perpetual sort of playoff boogeyman? We've seen all the movies. And I know Joel Embiid is back and he's averaging like 39-5 since his return. And he's a better basketball player even than last year when he was the MVP. But the playoff movies are the playoff movies. And the officiating has changed from when he started, when he last actually played. Like, I don't see Miami or Philly. I mean, maybe I see Miami a little bit because I feel like they can get there, but I don't know if I trust it this year. But Philly, I wouldn't be afraid of them if I'm what New York and Boston believes themselves to be. They shouldn't be afraid of either one of these teams.
Now, I wouldn't be worried about Philly. I think it's Alan Hyde who makes the point. So let me get this straight. You're expecting Joel Embiid to do on one leg what he couldn't do on two. All right. You know, like that's a choice if that's the way you want to go about it. And yeah, no, I don't. Philadelphia, I would not worry about. I wouldn't want to play Miami under any circumstances.
That's true. That's true.
And I agree with you. They look vulnerable. They look like all those things that they look like last year. You know, all those things that they look like last year. The question is, and this is what I would worry about with Miami, is Jimmy Early is what you don't want no problems with. I don't know how much longer at his age he can just dial it up in that way when the postseason comes around. But I think he can give you a round. He might even be able to give you two. You probably have the best coach in the conference. They get out there playing that old zone. I mean, I ain't about it, but it seems to be effective, right? I could get not wanting to play them. But Boston, if you are beating your opponents by an average of 11 points a game, there should be no concern about anything whatsoever. I'm concerned about them, but there still should be no concern whatsoever for the team that's outscoring people by 11 points a game. They rolled out there with a bunch of dudes that they picked up from the train station in that last game, and they beat the brakes off of who that was. Who were they playing in that game?
Who did Boston play? I don't know. That was one of the games I wasn't paying attention to because it was too much other shit to pay attention
to. They hammered them.
They're a regular season juggernaut. Because they take a lot of threes, they make a lot of threes, and they can create a lot of mismatches on both ends. Yeah, the Hawks are playing the Bulls. If y'all came here for that, y'all came here for the wrong things today, dog. This is just not it. But you bring up the point about Jimmy, and Jimmy will be 35, I believe, in September. I think he was born in 89. So he'll be 35. So he's at 34. So he kind of right at like the tail end and having a lot of miles and everything else. But the NBA we grew up watching, Bo, where, oh, New York lost to Miami last year. We should get them back. Boston lost to Miami last year. We should get them back. Teams would relish these opportunities, and now you have people talking about they should be suckers and say, man, I hope we get the Bulls or the Hawks. It would be unfair if we had to play the Miami Heat. What happened? When we talk about this being a soft generation, that's the shit I'm talking about, Bo.
Now, I do every time somebody tells me about people making these moves and trying to maneuver their way into the matchup they want. That is fear, man. Like, I just get it. You go out there and you beat them, right? Like that. Maybe that's just me. And anytime somebody talks about how smart it is and everything else, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that this is not a game that's won by smart people. I'm not saying the dumb people win out. I'm just saying it's won out by winners, right? Winners are the ones that go out here and then get it done. Then Cleveland just pulled this. And it's interesting. Cleveland's catching some hell for this. Where they lost this last game, it seemed to be that they were maneuvering themselves into a matchup that they wanted, and that did not seem to go over well, which is interesting because people are normally out here on the internet like justifying and rationalizing this. It does not seem to be going that way for the Cavs.
Well, I think part of it is on the other side of that is the New York Knicks. You know what I mean? Like on the other side of that is the Milwaukee Bucks. Like they were in this weird position where they could have finished anywhere from 2-5. Like I don't ever remember a day where that could have actually happened. And I know we're going to get into like some of the other playoff series like later in the week. But Bo, the two playoff series we got set now in the West, Phoenix and Minnesota and the Clippers and Dallas. Ooh. Baby, you better get hip to whatever season of Charmed we about to be watching.
Hey, so Phoenix, Minnesota is so interesting to me because I think that we would both agree Karl Towns is a better player than Naz Reid.
Yes.
And I feel like with the playoffs here, as hard as I am on Karl, I would rather have Karl Towns on the floor than Naz Reid. Because, look, I can't necessarily count on Karl to get me buckets, but I know that Karl can come out here and give me buckets. I know Karl can give me 40 if it comes down to it. It is going to be some games where you might need 40, right? But they don't necessarily seem to be better with Karl on the floor versus Naz Reid. And this has kind of been a running theme all year for them is, are they better when Naz Reid is on the floor? So how does this go after Karl's missed all this time? How does this go?
Well, it reminds me, Bo, of a story that I was told when I was living in Chicago. And Michael Jordan was playing for the Wizards. He was coming back and all that stuff. And he pulled one of the Bulls vets from the locker room to like a side room. And this is when the Bulls had Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry. And he said, I don't know how you do it. He's like, what you mean? He said, you got 14 feet of bullshit over there.
What do you do when he says that to you and you have no idea that that's what's coming? Because I raised the question as to whether or not they had 14 feet worth of sucker. And I thought I was being too harsh. I thought I may have been going a little bit too far. I said, it's possible. I couldn't even lead all the way into it. So you just imagine the Michael Jordan just out of nowhere. It's like, I don't know how you're doing it. What you mean, Mike? I don't know how you're doing it. What you mean, Mike? And then he drops.
And this is the same Michael Jordan that drafted Kwame Brown. Yes. and he's talking about yo seven-footers.
Well, hold on. You know the best story about Kwame Brown. That I forget who told me the story. He said they were at practice one day, and it was with the Wizards. And they're talking to Jordan, and Kwame Brown's over in the court, over on the other goal, shooting free throws, you know, trying to better himself. Jordan looks up and goes, look at that motherfucker. I hate him. What? Why would you say that?
Just disdain.
Just disdain. What a miserable man. Just disdain.
Look, and he had the pleasure. He was probably praying for the days of Bill Cartwright, yes, who somehow lost the ball in midair when he was shooting on purpose. And Luke Longley, you know, he was praying for the days of that when he, yes, had Kwame Brown. Now, oh my God, that's so funny. But to your point about the Suns and Timberwolves, like, the Timberwolves are the favorite because clearly they have a better record and they're a better team. The Suns have beat them like a drum this season. They're 3-0. And I don't know if you remember this, Bo. Anthony Edwards on Instagram, on the day that the Suns got waxed by Dallas, you know, 2 years ago by like 40, he was like, This is a disgrace.
he is a bit judgmental.
That comes from being 22. You know what I mean?
I don't know why these dudes can't play every game. Somebody worked the double shift to come watch this game. You lazy motherfuckers. Like, he goes far.
Hey. He's himself, and I can't wait. I wish I was covering that series. I'm not saying I'm campaigning for it quietly, but I can't wait for the days where Ant-Man says something in the press conference and they go tell grouchy-ass Kevin Durant. Katie, you heard what Ant-Man just said? Nah, what? He said y'all old. Well, we are. Man, this is going to be so fun. That series is going to be a fun series of the first round, I think.
I mean, Minnesota's got Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert playing defense, right? Like, they got the chance to clamp down on you. On the other side, the Suns have two elite shot makers. And what we saw from them against Denver last year, and it only lasted for so long because elite shot making can take you a ways, but it can only take you so far.
Right.
How far can elite shot making take them? Because I don't think that Phoenix has got anything else going. Like, Brad Beal being there, I mean, that's cool, right? But elite shot making is the only thing I feel like that can carry them. And you can only go so far with them dudes just making incredible shots.
Well, my thing is, they've got shot creation, but none of them can create an open shot for Kevin Durant. Like, I know, yes, Kevin Durant can do all of the things, even at his advanced age. But their number one goal on offense should be find a way to get Kevin Durant open attacking the closeout. Like, find a way to compromise the defense so that Kevin Durant can do what he does as easy as possible. And in season one of this, they have not done that at all. Now, Bo, we got to talk about awards after this break, so we got to pay some bills. And I got a hot take on Big Slim, Victor Wembanyama, that I want Bo to respond on. You're listening to The Good Word. Back on The Good Word, Bo Monty Jones. Bo, before we get into MVP picks, rookie of the year, defensive player of the year, all that stuff, we got to put a bow in the regular season for some players who will not be playing in the rest of April, May, and June. But a guy that I think is going to be a top five player next year, Victor Wembanyama, Big Slim. I think the only players who will definitively be better than him next year, Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, and who was the third? Joel Embiid. After that, I think we are in for a rude awakening. I think, Joe, I wrote this down. 23, 12, 5 assists, 4.5 blocks in the second half of the year.
Okay. And he's still on a bit of a minutes restriction, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, I feel like we can go ahead, combine this, and just to save some time, is he your defensive player of the year? Because I think he's my defensive player of the year.
He's not, because the only question I have, Bo, is, and I'm not one of the people that subscribes to the theory, oh, he's going to win it at some point, so we don't have to give it to him. Yeah, I ain't kicking it like that. But how good are you defensively if your team is no good defensively?
Well, they're just terrible. They are good when he plays defense.
Yes.
Right? If I'm not mistaken, they're somewhere like top five, top six, or something like that when he's on the floor and just booty butt cheeks in every way when he does not play. So, like, I see the argument against it, but the second half of this came around, and what is so wild about this with him, and I think the most encouraging part, and look, maybe things are different than they used to be, but when I was a kid, there was a thing called the rookie wall, and he just stepped his lanky ass over it like it wasn't even there. Like, all those stories that we got about how they were preparing him physically for the NBA and to get him ready for this place, that all worked. Like, them dudes need to be walking around arena handing out business cards.
Well, maybe he was already ready. And our buddy Chet, another member of the Skinny Man Alliance, he played all 82 this year. We didn't expect him to do any of that, even though he, you know, whether you call him a rookie or not a rookie, whatever it is. This is first time playing NBA basketball, and that man suited up every game.
Yeah, no. But to your point, though, with Victor, that's another one where some people are going to have to start explaining themselves. Like, if he keeps playing at this sort of level and they remain terrible, like, there's no excuse for them to be as bad as they have been this year. There's not. Now, Vic turns the ball over a bit too much, right? Like, let's go ahead and be real about that. The splits for them, like, I don't think that they are a positive net rating team with him on the floor, right? So there's a lot going on there, but they are terrible when he does not play. Terrible. And they got better about it, man. But them cats still be acting like, is it just too easy to throw the ball to the tallest man in the world when he's standing right next to the goal? Do y'all need more of a challenge? Y'all sorry. Pass the ball to Vic every time.
That early in the season, they was like, man, we got TNT here. It's Devin Vassell time. It's right. Keldon Johnson time, baby.
It's like your cats is coming out the locker room. Pulse jump up to get beat down. Pulse jump up to get beat down. And then they come out there and run up on Tommy Hearns, except it ain't Tommy Hearns. It's just the Kings. It's just the Hornets. It's just a regular-ass basketball team wearing y'all out. Like, my brother, he'd be so mad. He'd be like, yo, man, what is up with Cisco? Just can't figure out. Like, why Cisco won't pass the ball to Vic?
That's amazing. That's amazing. You're talking about Jeremy Sohan, for those who are completely uninitiated, number 10.
Look, they knew who he was talking about. Look, even if you didn't know, if you lined everybody up and be like, yo, who the one you think they call Cisco? That would be, you go right there. You say with Drew Hill, you line Drew Hill against the wall. Which one of y'all? Like, it's Jazz, it's Woody, it's Nokia, it's Cisco. Oh, that's him right there.
Cisco.
There goes Cisco. Dude. You say it's Cisco with a Q? Yeah, it's him with that blonde. Yeah, that's him.
Yep. Cisco with the blonde. Now, Bo, I got to turn in my ballot. And about a week ago, I thought that the MVP was very clearly Nikola Jokic. I started reading more, like the stats and stuff. Started reading more, absorbing more. Am I A, trying to make this race closer than it needs to be? Or B, is this quietly a very intriguing three-man race between Jokic, Luka Doncic, who's carried his team to 50-plus wins, and you know how I feel about that 50-win threshold, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who leads the league in steals and is second in deflections?
Okay. So, I have said for many years, and this is the case, no statistic maps out more clearly to the MVP than win shares per 48 minutes. And the league leader this year in win shares per 48 minutes is Nikola Jokic, period. He's that guy, right? Like, honestly, you go look at it, and I know people are wary of win shares as a basketball statistic, but you go look at the win shares per 48 year after year after year. The years where the leader in win shares per 48 doesn't win MVP are the years where you're like, oh, that was an interesting decision, right? Case in point, last year with Joel Embiid. Like, that one was another one. I was like, I mean, if you want to go that way, you can. But all the others, basically it goes. Like, the Russell Westbrook year, the Derrick Rose year, it's a couple others. But this pretty much maps into it. Jokic has it there. I would make this point for Jokic, because I do think that this is a close one, and I think the Mavericks have turned out to be a bit better than we thought they would be. And if we're going old school about this, the Thunder won the West.
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, that carries a certain measure of weight. And maybe, I guess, this is an argument that also supports Shai. But we cannot forget the next season that Jokic plays with an all-star will be the first season that Jokic plays with an all-star. Like, you feel good about Murray. You feel good about Porter. This is still, like, it is a band with a front man. Okay. The star of the show is the singer. And everybody else gets to do their little thing or whatever, but it's the singer setting everybody else up still. I still think he's the MVP, but I also understand, especially with Shea. That's, I think, a stronger argument than Luka, because in the end, as good as Luka is, hey, man, let us not forget, not only has Kyrie been really good, even with a geopolitical crisis in the Holy Land, he done held it in the row.
Hey, you got to give Kyrie all the credit.
You got to give
Kyrie all the credit. Hey, somebody had a conversation with them. And look, he already got his money, right? So he's got nothing to lose on the back end of this. And they're like, Kyrie, just let it out. Just say all the things that you got to say. We're going to burn some incense. You can bring your stick in here. Just say it, whether it's Nico or Jason Kidd or Cuban or the new people. Hey, just talk to me. Let it out.
Let me tell you something. There's an email that we could probably find if we dig deep enough. Mark Cuban saying, just let him wear the fucking scarf. Send. Like, if that's all he want to do, if all he want to do is wear that scarf, straight. It's cool. It's cool. We good. Just let him wear the scarf.
No, you're right. And look, he makes them dangerous. And I feel like the Clippers are kind of like one of those things, like, man, this is the team that they got to play against, which is might be the team that's best equipped to handle them. But Luka's numbers are crazy post-All-Star.
And dog, we know what the thing is with the Clippers. We know what the situation is. Is James Harden going to mess it up? Because the truth is, if James Harden doesn't mess it up, they can win the West. I still think Denver's going to beat everybody. But they're the team that can beat them as long as James Harden doesn't mess it up. The problem is, we've watched James Harden mess it up 12 years in a row. I don't know if it's a perfect 12 years in a row, but for the last 12 years, including the last year in Oklahoma City, we done seen James Harden be the reason they got there and the reason they went home.
This is the best, one of the best metaphors I've come up with. I dated this woman once, and she had her sister's husband. He wouldn't say it was time to go. He would just randomly pick up like the garbage, like take garbage bags out of the garbage can, no matter where he was at, and take it outside. And that was the signal. Oh, it's time to go home. James Harden is like, hey, y'all, we're not winning this series anyway. Why don't I just expedite the process here, y'all? Why don't I just take this trash out and give us a bad game 7. They weren't going to win that game 7 in Boston last year. I'm not giving them bail. I'm just saying they weren't going to win that game anyway. It just so happened that Tatum gave them 50 and Embiid and Harden just said, nah, why do we have to show up here? Mm-hmm. It's the weirdest thing. Harden is one of the biggest conundrums and now he's old. You know what I mean?
I just think he presses. Like all of that all indicates pressing. Because I say that last year against the Celtics. Let us not forget, they had some of those games without Embiid, and James Harden said, jump on my back, let's go, and did it. Like, we can't pretend as though he can't handle the playoffs at all, or that you just 100% can't win any games with him. If Chris Paul doesn't get hurt in, what was it, 2018, there's a good chance that they win that series against Golden State. It's not guaranteed, but they had a good chance at that, except they went out there, because they had game 7 at home, right?
Yeah, that's when they missed 27 straight threes. That's why I think they weren't going to win that game. 26, my bad.
Yeah.
They were going to lose that game no matter what, in my opinion. Seriously.
Something was going to happen.
Something was going to, like, there's something very Dallas Cowboys
I'm acting like the solution was Chris Paul.
If you're
Chris Paul, whose team lost a 3-1 series lead to James Harden's team.
And not with James Harden on the floor. Josh Smith bringing him back. Hey, James Harden had a towel on his head. McHale said, that's great season, man. Glad to have you. All that stuff. He put the towel on his head. Next thing you know, what's that crowd doing cheering?
Right. On the Clippers home floor for that game 6. And my daddy, who's my favorite line he's ever had about a basketball player, was about Josh Smith. Josh is sorry. Talented, but sorry. Just call him sorry.
Just good and sorry. Oh, my God. Good grief. Now, it's funny. I'm trying to circle it back to SGA. But Shea does have like an interesting case because he is second in win shares. Like, I think Jokic is at a 299. I want to say Shea's at 275. Mm-hmm. And the question I would have, Bo, is not just in front of raw stats and also there, is it tougher for a guard who can only affect the game in but so many ways by function of being a guard and not being like a physical sort of Marvel, a 3-4 types, is it impossible for him to reach those highs? Is there a ceiling on how much of an effect a guy like Shea can have on a game compared to Jokic, even when we evaluate him through the prism of those advanced stats?
The reason I say no to that is I have my skepticism of Luka in a lot of ways, right? But I done seen that boy fake games and everybody fake it. And he and Shea are the same size, they're the same height at least. They built different. You know, they're the same height, playing the same position. Like, I think a guard can pull it off. I wonder, though, if it's just a case of, I don't think we're giving enough credit to the fact that Oklahoma City went from the play-in last year to being the number one seed in a very competitive West this year. Like, this is an incredible feat. They got a coach that most people can't pick out a lineup. You taught me how to say his name. They got all these young dudes. And by the way, they got the assets. Next year, depending on what Sam decides to do next year, they could be such a problem, right? But I don't think that people have really appreciated what they've pulled off this year.
I don't think people have appreciated what Sam has done. People have focused so much on the picks, the future of the picks, and all these things. Sam can control the draft for the next 5 or 6 years. He ain't making these picks. These picks are proxy for guys that he's going to try to acquire, and he's got the dudes already. Like Jalen Williams, one of the Jalen Williams is the kid with the braids. Well, I think both of them got braids. Well, wait. Either way, the Jalen Williams that you talk about but you don't really know, that man profiles like Kawhi freaking Leonard. And he's their third best player. Like, he's on one of those short lists of, you know, all defensive teams because that dude straps it up. And then you got Shea and Chet. And Chet might, once he becomes full bloom, might be better than Shea. And Shea is an MVP candidate. Like, they're doing something over there.
Well, one, insisting on Shea in that trade is something that we have to remember, too, right?
Because
It's very similar to when Daryl got James Harden in that. Yeah, we thought he was going to be good, comma, but.
Right.
Number two, and I know that people won't like me phrasing it in this way, but in the end, I think it's going to be this, man. Orlando did them a giant favor when they took Paolo.
Ooh, yeah.
It did them a giant favor. To me, it is a no-brainer which one of those guys you'd rather have for 15 years. And maybe something's wrong with me, but the 6'10 dude that can barely get you 7 rebounds a game, miss me with that. Like, what Paolo can do for you, he can do. And you and I have talked about this. A lot of guys are really high on him. That ain't how I want my 6'9", 6'10 to be out here kicking it. Chet, on the other hand, Chet got that dog, boy. And are those pictures legit?
Which ones?
The ones with him with a Thug Life tattoo on his belly.
Oh, I don't think that's true. I haven't seen that. Are you serious? Are you making me hit the Google?
Yeah. And you. And when I say the Thug Life tattoo on his belly, I mean the Thug Life tattoo on his belly, even with the little AK-47 above it.
I'm doing it now. Chet Holmgren tattoos.
Yeah. Like, I saw that bouncing around. I had a few people send it to me, and I'm like, this just ain't possible, bro.
No, it says not real. It says not real. I think it's one of them Twitter hoaxes. That's like Drake with one of them text messages that he posted out here.
Yes. Firm.
that boy. Look, that boy's mama wasn't texting him all day.
No way. But they got Chet. They're gonna be able to move those assets and turn them into a player because they know, man, they ain't getting nobody no damn free agency. I mean, free agency don't exist no more anyway. But they can go get a guy. And this is the beginning, man. This is the beginning.
Get them while you can. Beat them while you can. You know what I mean? Like, and this may be the year, but they don't play stupid. Like, that's the thing we think about young teams. We think, oh, young teams winning 50-plus games, they're the mark in the first round. They might be light in the ass, but they don't play stupid. Like, they're not going to beat themselves. The Lakers, if the Lakers get that matchup, they may beat them, but it's not because Oklahoma City beats itself. And that brings me to my defensive player of the year. It could be Anthony Davis. I haven't like figured it out yet. It's between Rudy and AD. And Rudy, of course, is Rudy. But we've been talking for years, Bo, about Anthony Davis. He should take over. He should be the guy. The man has played like 76 games this year. Like, has the change happened and we just haven't noticed it?
He's playing behind a solar eclipse. I don't think there's room for people to notice because I think that people are always like leaning back on the idea that if it goes wrong, it's going to be Anthony Davis's fault, or at the very least, it's not going to be LeBron James' fault. But you've got an argument to make that he's been the best player on their team this year. He's just not LeBron James, right? Like what LeBron can still do is decide, okay, we need a bucket. Let me go get that right fast.
Yep.
You know, and that still probably matters more than anything else. But you're right. Anthony Davis, he's as good as advertised, right? Like you think about this. Think of all the hype that surrounded Anthony Davis coming into the league. He's been that good. Like even when he was with the Pelicans and you could say they didn't win enough or whatever, and maybe we got him with the Lakers and it seemed clear that he's supposed to be a number two, or maybe it's tricky being that other guy next to LeBron. I'm not sure. But I just felt so bad for him in the conference finals last year because he was out there doing it and it just didn't matter.
Dude, when Jokic took a step back three, I think it was game three or game four. It might have been three. AD just looked at the man like there's got to be something so very demoralizing that you are the best in the world at what you do. He is probably the best every point on the floor defender that the league has to offer. There's no place that he feels uncomfortable if somebody else has the ball. And that man does that off one foot, shot over his head like Larry Bird, and it easily swishes. And you just have to look and say, well, what do y'all want me to do?
And he doesn't even jump. He looked like when Lil Mama was trying to guard Caitlin Clark and she hit that one shot on her. She's just like,
our girl Haley. Haley?
Yeah, Haley was like, all right, whatever.
Hey, sometimes, and this has happened in pickup, this has happened in every facet of basketball. Sometimes, dogs, somebody just wear your ass out. Like, sometimes somebody sends a limo for you. Make sure he gets here on time. I done had limos sent for me. I done sent limos for other dudes. And at some point, that limo pulls up, and it's going to drop your ass off. And that's been Anthony Davis against Jokic, because they 0-4 against them this year.
Yeah.
Like, the Lakers got all these wins.
Problems.
Hey, the Lakers got all these wins, and they can't beat Sacramento. We don't know if it's very good. They can't beat Golden State, who is not very good, and they can't beat the champs. I'm trying to figure out who the hell they beat this year to get 46 wins or whatever that number is.
Apparently everybody else.
Literally everybody else. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Bo Monty Jones. Thanks to Bo for giving us some of his time today. Don't forget to subscribe to The Right Time with Bo Monty Jones on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts, probably right here. Anything else you got going on that you want to talk about?
Oh, man, we're getting ready pretty soon to put out a series on The Right Time of great rap albums from the year 1994. Come check that out. Our first one is going to be Illmatic. That's going to be kind of fire. So I want y'all to... Oh, no, we got another one. We got a Doggy Style Illmatic because that's late 93. So we're going to bring that in. We got the Illmatic. We got a few other ones. We got some dope stuff. So I want y'all to come in and check that out. And I want to send a shout out to anybody who might have been offended by what Drake had to say about Kendrick Lamar and his size 7 shoes. I just want y'all guys to understand that if you learn to juggle, you'll have a trick.
Do you think any producers were offended when he told that man to go do some drums?
They might have been, but honestly, man, I don't be listening to people that size.
Bo Monty Jones, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to go subscribe to The Right Time. Thanks to producer John and the entire team who works behind the scenes. I'll be back Wednesday for another episode of The Good Word. Wait, before I go, Bo, who's your picks? East and West. Who you got?
Oh, I got the champs in the West. Like, I mean, I don't feel like I haven't even bothered to think about anything in the West other than, well, I know who gonna win that one. I got the champs in the West. And look, I gotta go with Boston. because I just don't have an argument for who else is going to be the one to do it. Because why would I have any faith in Milwaukee, right? Like, Milwaukee is the team that I think that you can most readily be like, hey, I mean, they have been champs before, right? But what faith am I supposed to have in them? And then I think Denver, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Denver blow them boys out the water. I don't know. Like, it's good for them that they got Porzingis. I don't know what Porzingis is going to get out there and do against Jokic.
Pray. Limo. Limo. That's what that is. Limo. Get his skinny ass right over here. Make sure that limo shows up on time. Put Al Horford in that limo, too. There's room for two.
Oh, dude, Al Horford. Al Horford will just disappear behind him. It'll be like he's not there.
All you're going to see is his big ass head.
That's it. That's it. And I love Al Horford.
He got nothing for him. Like, there's nothing for him. Like I said, the perfect defender against Nikola Jokic is a man named Tim Elijah-Wan. The man doesn't exist. That is Bo Monty Jones, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, don't forget to check him out on the right time. We are out for real this time. Everybody be safe.